Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fortcast, the official podcast of Fort Healthcare. I'm your host, physician and president and CEO of Fort Healthcare, Michael Anderson. Thank you for joining us. As most of our listeners may or may not know, May is Women's Health Month, and I'm extremely excited to have our guest on this episode of the Fortcast. Today, we have Dr. Stephanie Nottestad, family physician up in Cambridge, Wisconsin. Dr. Nottestad, it is wonderful to have you on this episode. I look forward to speaking with you today in regards to women's health. Now, I always start by saying I've been part of this organization for over 20 years, but I understand your tenure has been approaching that number. Can you just let our listeners know just how long you've been with the organization and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I have been with Fort Healthcare for almost 19 years, which is my entire career I've spent here at Fort Healthcare. As you said, I work at our Cambridge clinic where I see patients 4 days a week. I have been a part of the Cambridge community since I was born, so born and raised in Cambridge, and really happy and lucky to be working there. And I live there with my husband and three children.
Which probably makes for a very busy household, but we're very, very fortunate to have you. Stephanie, thank you for all you do for our patients and our community. And just for our listeners to know also, Dr. Nottestad has a leadership role within our organization. She really helps manage Fort Medical Group. So we're very fortunate to have you in that role as well, Stephanie. So thank you for that. Moving on to our topic. So I know women's health, big topic, extremely important. The month of May is dedicated to women's health. And just to start us off, Dr. Nottestad, when you think of women's health and you are talking to your patients about women's health, what sort of regular checkups or what kind of topics do you approach your patients with in regards to women's health?
When women come in, how often they come for checkups depends on their age. So for women less than 50, we're hoping to see them every couple of years. Once women get 50 and older, then we like to see you every year. When you come in for that checkup, we are talking to you about what sort of preventative screenings do you need depending on your age. So for cervical cancer screening, that applies to any woman that is 21 and older. That is something that as a 21 to 30-year-old, you would have done every 3 years. And then once you reach the age of 30 up until 65, that is a test that you would have done every 5 years. Other screenings that we talk about are mammograms. Recommendations have just changed again for mammograms. So now women starting at the age of 40 are recommended to begin their screening mammograms. Those continue until the age of 75, and they are every year or every other year, depending on your risk factors. One other screening that we discuss is colon cancer screening. I know you just had a big podcast with Dr. Cotney about that, but just to reiterate, that does start at the age of 45, sometimes earlier, depending on risk factors. But again, for all women, it would start at the age of 45, and depending on what screening method you choose would depend on the frequency with which you do those examinations.
I think it's important for our listeners to understand when we talk about screenings, whether it's cervical cancer, colon cancer, mammograms, the guidelines are continuously evolving. So it's very important for us to talk to our physicians, our providers about what are the latest guidelines because they change. And it's very important that all of us do our proper screening when we age in life. So the other topic I'd like to touch base on with you, Dr. Nottestad, is the risk for, say, heart disease and or diabetes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Those would be other topics that we would cover during an annual wellness exam with my female patients. So we would talk about your risk of heart disease. And depending on whether or not you have family history, if you have other risk factors, like if you smoke or have high blood pressure, would determine when we would start screening you for cholesterol is what we're looking for. And unfortunately, there aren't really any clear-cut recommendations about what's the best age to start screening people for cholesterol. But in general, we would say by the age of 45, we should be checking your cholesterol annually or every few years, just depending, again, on what your risk factors are. If you do have risk factors, then we would discuss that and discuss screening earlier than that. in terms of diabetes screening, that in general would start at the age of around 35, specifically for people that are overweight or obese. We definitely want to start at the age of 35. That test can be done with either a fasting blood sugar or another type of diabetes test called a hemoglobin A1C. And then once we get these results back, you know, normally I like to have these tests done before my patients come and see me for their annual exam so that when they come for their exam, we can have a meaningful discussion about what their numbers are, what their numbers mean to them, and how we might need to tweak things in their life or if they need medications, for example, to help mitigate their risk factors.
You know, when you sit back and you think about it, that is a wealth of information. So just in this short period of time, we've covered screening for cancers, notably breast cancer, cervical cancer, colon cancer. And now we're talking about screening or checking for heart disease and diabetes. Now, that is an incredible amount of information that goes into these annual wellness visits. So it's important to know that there is a lot of information that is exchanging in regards to people's healthcare. And it's extremely important to have those visits with the likes of Dr. Nodestad and other primary care physicians and providers. So you mentioned that once a woman turns 50, you recommend an annual visit?
Correct, yes. At the age of 50, we really do want people to come in annually because that's the time when things start to change more. Like your risk for heart disease and stroke and things like that goes up. So we do want to see you yearly so that we can be checking your blood pressure, checking your numbers, and really having a good discussion with you about the best way to take care of yourself so you can live the best, longest, healthiest life.
And who doesn't want to do that? So as part of that discussion, Dr. Nodestad, to discuss activity level guidelines or nutrition guidelines, a little bit more of that preventative side of things as all of us go through the natural aging process, I'll say.
Yep, I absolutely do. So I make time to discuss activity level with my patients. So I always like to ask them, you know, what do you like to do for movement? The guidelines state that we should all be getting at least 150 minutes a week of moderate level activity. So that could be brisk walking, light jogging, biking, something like that, but a minimum of 150 minutes. And more is better. So if people could get in an hour a day, 5 days a week of aerobic activity, that is excellent for your overall cardiac health. The other thing that's important too is strength training. So a lot of women are afraid of strength training. They don't want to get big, bulky muscles like they see men have. And that really doesn't happen to women. So I like to counsel my female patients that you really need to be lifting heavy weight. The reason that is because as we age, especially over the age of 50, our muscle mass starts to decrease. When we lose muscle mass, we are more prone to osteoporosis, we're more prone to falling, we're more prone to hip fractures, things like that. So if women want to have a long, healthy life, live at home, be independent, it's really important that you get that strength training in, which the recommendations are 2 days per week, doing upper body and lower body work, and that you try to lift some heavy weight so you can really tax those muscles and keep your strength going.
You know, the physical, the weight training in particular, I think the knowledge gap on that is probably a little bit on the lower side. I know my wife and I have had that conversation as she approaches age 50 and just how important it is to stay physically fit, but then also to lift weights. I think that's an emerging science in medicine. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seems like 20 years ago or 25 years ago when I was going through med school, that was not emphasized. That seems more of a recent development.
I think people are really starting to notice that we do, men and women, lose muscle as we age, and we really do need to focus on weight training to keep our muscle mass. Women historically have not been a part of a lot of medical literature. It's usually based around men, and certainly women over the age of 50 are often excluded from this literature. So we're just starting to do research now and find out more about how important strength training is for women. And again, it's that heavy strength training. Like, don't get out the 5-pound dumbbells, really get something heavy so you're taxing your muscles.
I just want to reassure everybody out there, you're not going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger with this, okay?
You will absolutely not get big and bulky like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, how about in terms of nutrition? Do you touch base on certain nutrition practices that are beneficial?
I do. We, unfortunately, with social media, are steeped in diet culture, which is fad diet after fad diet that women are often prone to succumbing to in an effort to keep a certain weight or keep a certain physique. So what I really talk to women about is it's really important just to nourish your body to be healthy. So one type of dietary practice that I like is the Mediterranean diet. So I do talk to women about that. I also emphasize the importance of a high fiber diet with lots of fruits and vegetables. That 5 to 11 servings a day of fruits and vegetables is important. And then I talk about protein. Again, as I mentioned about the muscle loss and the muscle building, we do need to make sure that we're getting enough protein in our diet. You don't have to go crazy and really measure things, but trying to get 30 to 40 grams of protein in with each meal is a good starting point for women to get an adequate amount of protein in.
Those are some wonderful guidelines. The 5 to 11 servings of fruits and vegetables, that is so critical. I think it's underscored. We don't talk about it enough. My favorite fruit are blueberries. I eat them at least twice a day. I absolutely love them. And it's just very important for all of us to just work that into our normal diet, to not view it as a chore or a goal. It just becomes a lifestyle issue.
And some people try to replace fruits and vegetables with a multivitamin, for example, and that just doesn't work as well. Fruits and vegetables have so many important chemical compounds in them that you cannot replace with a multivitamin or a supplement. I think people also underestimate the serving size of a vegetable. So if you have a large salad at lunch, that could be 5-10 servings of vegetables right there, just depending on the size. So maybe spend some time looking at what a specific serving size is of vegetables, and you might be surprised that you're coming closer to what we recommend than you thought you were.
That's excellent to know. Now, shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about self-care, mental health. It's such a huge topic, both for men and women. Recently, I feel like the pandemic has really accelerated this. It's brought it to the front of what we talk about with our patients. So do you touch base in those regards under that heading? Do you have those discussions also with your patients?
I do. I usually start that discussion by talking to women about sleep and figuring out how much sleep they're getting. And sometimes from that discussion, you can figure out if they've got too much going on in their life that they're not able to get enough sleep. We do talk about stress and the importance of stress management. I know that's hard for people to do, especially women usually have a lot of tugs on their time with work and family. And as we get older, we also have aging parents that we're sometimes taking care of. But it's really important to try to take some time every day for yourself. It can be the exercise that you can do. It can be reading, an activity that you enjoy. But just to have some time every day where you're making yourself a priority is really important. We know for people's long-term health.
I actually read just recently in the Harvard Business Review that it can be as little as 20 minutes of self-care a day can make a huge difference in somebody's mental health or mental outlook. So that emphasizing that self-care is so important. I think sleep is something we don't emphasize enough. I see it all the time in my practice where a patient will come in and the spouses won't sleep in the same room because they can't. It's always due to snoring or sleep apnea in my practice. Most of the time, it's the male that's snoring and then the wife then sleeps in another room. But your spouse needs their sleep. And if they are disrupted in their sleep, it's just not going to lead to an overall healthy lifestyle. It is so important.
It's really stressful on our bodies to not get enough sleep. I mean, you and I know what that's like going through all of our years of medical training, but if you don't sleep well, the next day it's just tough. You don't make good dietary choices. Maybe you don't exercise because you're tired. You're snippy with people at work or your family. So good sleep just has so many benefits that in America, we haven't really prioritized sleep like we should. And I hope that's something that women can start to realize that sleep is just as important as everything else that they do for themselves health-wise.
I completely agree. And Dr. Nada said, I mean, women's health, massive topic. We've touched base on some really critical issues today: screening, heart disease, diabetes, nutrition, self-care, sleep. These are very important health topics. And so for our listeners out there, please see your primary care physician, discuss these topics, because your overall health is extremely important. Dr. Nodestad, I can't thank you enough for being part of the Fortcast today. I look forward to working with you many years in the future from now, but thank you for being part of this today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, and it is a pleasure to work for Ford Healthcare.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. That wraps up this episode of the Fortcast. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social media channels. And also, please tune into our full podcast library that is located on our website. Thank you, everybody, and have a great day.